Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here with a very talented man, a wonderful actor, and he's played so many different roles. You've seen him in so many different things, and we'll get into his resume in a little bit, but I want to welcome the wonderful Mark Metcalf, and thrilled to have him. Mark, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Well, if you don't mind, let's do a little bit of your history, and if you could start from the beginning. Where did it all start for you? Where were you born? Where were you raised?
Wow, this is going to take a long time. Excuse me. I was born in Findlay, Ohio, home of Tasty Taters and Marathon Oil and Cooper Tires, actually, too. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, I was born in Findlay. My mother was from there, and she went home to have me. And then I went back to St. Louis, where my mother and father lived, and was raised till I was, I think, 13 or 14 in St. Louis, in a little suburb of St. Louis called Webster Groves, which was, I think, ABC in 1960 determined that it was the quintessential American suburb, and they did a documentary on 16 in Webster Groves. And I had moved by then, though, and moved to New Jersey, so I went to high school in New Jersey, went back to the Midwest when I went to college. I went to the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. I went as an engineer. In my sophomore year, my roommate said, come audition for these plays. They're doing all three parts of Shakespeare's Henry VI. Come and do it. The girls are really friendly in the theater department. So I went, and I was cast in 15 different parts, 13 makeup changes and costume changes that I devised myself, and I caught the bug. Basically, I'd never imagined any life in the theater, but here we go. 50-something years later, I'm still doing it. Managed to make my living doing it for all this time since I first got paid for it, which was after college and after avoiding going to Vietnam and getting a job at the Milwaukee Repertory Theater for a season and then moving to New York and been working ever since.
And
living various places.
Yeah. Well, there's so many roles that I've seen. I've loved you in everything I've seen you in, but there's two roles that you're always going to be remembered for. You know, I'm sure you know what I'm going to say. Well, Animal House, first of all, it's just it's the cult classic that just never goes away. I mean, young people watch it. And Seinfeld, the maestro, became such a talked about character once you brought it to the screen. And, you know, and they had a knack for that. Seinfeld did. And, you know, I always wanted to ask you when you read it, when you started looking at that as a role, did you ever expect that people, you know, I mean, I'm 52, but I have kids that are 16 and they're watching Seinfeld and they love the episodes that you're on there. Did you ever think that, wow, I mean, this is my chance to just be part of this great show? And really, Seinfeld, you know, if you look at anybody's list, it's always number one or number two on the greatest shows of all time. And I'll tell you, it's the characters that really made that show, the writing and everything else. But what did you feel when you were handed that the script for that, or when you first read for that? Did you think it was going to be a hit? Your part, that is.
Well, Seinfeld, it was the seventh season, I think, and Seinfeld was already a hit. These guys were each making...
Well, no doubt, no doubt about it, but I meant the maestro itself. I mean, it became kind of a, you know, the same way the soup Nazi became a huge, you know, character. Right. But go ahead,
So as I said, the show was already a hit, so I knew, and the writing was always good, the writing was great. I guess I knew when I showed up on the set and everybody was so glad to have me there. And Jason Alexander had sort of known me before in New York. I hadn't known him, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus is just phenomenal. And Jerry's very welcoming. He really loves good actors. And then the writers all came up to me and said, this is our favorite character that we've ever written. And I thought two things. I thought, well, that's really great. Now I have a huge responsibility to bring life into this character. And then I also thought, yeah, they probably say that to all the people, to all the girls, they say that to. But yeah, so it, I mean, it's a great character. It's a great conundrum that that character deals with all the time, not being recognized for who he thinks he is. And it's a great, it's a great thing to play. It's sort of a slightly distorted ego, such as the maestro has. So yeah, so I knew, I didn't know that. What is it now? 97. I made that, so it's 20, 30 something years later, or 20 years later. I didn't know people would still be calling me up and talking to me on the telephone, so that I could be on the radio talking about it. But I didn't know, I didn't know that about Niedermeyer either. Yeah. I had no, none of us had any idea 41 years ago that people would still be wanting to talk about a movie that we knew was a fun script and was fun to do, but we had no idea that, that people would be flying us across the country to do mini reunions on the 40th anniversary of it. Yeah. And still talking about doing a sequel. Now we talk about doing a sequel to Animal House, calling it Animal Home. So we're all in our walkers in a same nursing home, which is getting to be a close to true. Well, not really, but some of them.
Let me remind folks that are just tuning in or maybe just turning on their radios. Frank McKay here with Mark Metcalf, wonderful actor, and you know his work from so many things. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, a bunch of episodes.
I was going to say, when you said there were just two, there's also Buffy, a whole other generation who don't recognize me, luckily, because it was 5 hours worth of makeup, but there's also Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which is a kind of a cult classic, I guess you might say, amongst a certain group of people, young women for the most part.
Well, big time. I mean, a big time cult classic. And again, Mark Metcalf with me, Frank McKay here. But the difference between it, timing, you know, like it, by the time Buffy was there, there was already started to be like hundreds of stations. Seinfeld was, you know, one of those shows that still, you know, there was in especially in the seventh season, it was maybe on the cusp of getting to the point where there were hundreds of stations. But Buffy, you know, kind of broke over the new millennium, and there was, you know, already over the top TV. It's a little different, but there are, my kids all loved Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and they loved you in it. So there are different generations that are enjoying you. I often wondered, and I knew you had a stage background and a serious acting background. And when it comes to watching anything that's a documentary on Animal House, all we see is how wild it was, and you know, of course, you know, Belushi and everything there. And I often wondered how you reacted to it personally, coming from, you know, because there were probably a lot of people who never acted before. I think I had Stephen First on a couple of times, the late Stephen First, and. I think he said it was his first role ever in Belushi. It was his, you know, basically his first screen role ever. And, you know, and here you are, you know, you're a seasoned stage actor, and you're doing very serious things and everything else. Did you enjoy the making of Animal House as much as it looked like the rest enjoyed it?
Oh, yeah, sure. It was fun. Yeah, it was dirt. It's fun to get paid to clown around and play. I mean, that's why we're all actors, because it's they don't call them plays for nothing. You know, you do play, which is funny the way everybody, yourself included, and lots of people do kind of make the assumption that if you are a theater actor, you're much more serious. You, in two different sentences, used the word serious in relationship to my stage acting. Stage acting is just as much fun. In fact, more fun for me than film and television. It's just that everybody gets paid more for doing film and television.
Yeah.
So they have more money to spend on the things that are fun. And it's also just, it's what the media wants. The media wants, you know, good stories about film and television. But the theater's really what I love the most. And what I went back to when I basically resigned or retired or quit in 2000 and bought a restaurant, thought I would just live off the restaurant, and then started doing plays in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, for the First Stage Children's Theater, and reminded myself of how much I really, really loved acting, especially when it's live in front of an audience, and especially when it's live with kids in front of an audience of kids and their parents. It's a great experience. It's the one that I still do whenever anybody asks me. But anyway, I wandered away from your question.
No, that's you're kidding. That's more important what you just said there. I mean, I never thought of it that way, and I'll point out what I'm talking about in a second. But Mark Metcalf is our very special guest, and again, you know his work from so many different roles: Niedermeyer in Animal House, and the Maestro in Seinfeld, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Much different looking Mark Metcalf due to makeup and everything else, but really a great actor, and I'm just thrilled to have him, Frank McKay, here with Mark Metcalf. You pointed out that that stage is just as much fun as TV and movies, and you're right. People in the media and people that are outside of the field and just fans, I think we want to believe that you know, when we see a stage being done, it's serious work. It's you know, Shakespearean. But you know, something tells me Shakespeare probably had a good time on you know, and his folks have it.
I think those guys had a great time.
Yeah,
and it's work when you're doing a film too. I mean, when you asked me earlier if I'd had fun doing Animal House, I did have fun doing Animal House. I don't think I necessarily personally had the kind of fun that you're imagining, where I was partying all the time and staying up late and drinking and doing drugs and just having a great old time. I sort of sequestered myself because I was not in the Delta House where partying all the time was the culture. I was in the Omegas, where the culture was much more serious, and Niedermeyer's personal culture is really serious. And so here's a story that I've told many times. When we moved into the Roadway Inn in Eugene, Oregon, where we shot it, Bruce McGill, who played D-Day, who was an old friend of mine from New York, from bars, he stole a piano out of the lobby of the hotel and wheeled it across the parking lot and put it in his ground floor room in the part of the hotel where we were all staying. And that became Party Central. So every night after we shot, and then after people got dinner, they would show up at McGill's room and play the piano and sing songs and play the guitar and do other possibly illegal things. I don't know what they did down there. I have my suspicions, though. Yeah. So I asked the hotel to move my room, because I knew I wasn't going to be going to Party Central, because Niedermeyer would not go to Party Central. So I had the hotel move my room to right above McGill's room so that the noise of their having a great time would keep me up all night long, and which it did. So I stayed up intentionally polishing my boots and spit polishing my boots with a candle and a little spit and studying my script and getting madder and madder. And it's just sort of my method to immerse myself in the character as much as I can. So, and that's fun for me. Work is fun for me. That's why I don't really think of it as work when I'm doing it. It's fun. If it does become work, I don't do it. So I didn't have, so when you asked the question, anyway, circling back to your question, which was it fun shooting Animal? Yes, it was fun. It was just as much fun as it looks like it was, because everybody was doing their job and having fun, and it's what we do.
See, I think the answer that that I focus on there is that it was fun for you, but you had a different type of fun in mind. And it's interesting. I think you gave a very interesting answer on all of that. But I'm getting a look at you that I may not have known before. It's impressive, you know. It's a good way to answer it. And I was going to ask you, as a non-actor, because I don't know, you know, I don't know my way around acting, but you know, are you a method actor? It sounds like you were in everything that you did there, and you referenced method acting. Are you a method actor?
I think every actor who works regularly has their own method and you devise your method as you go along, as you study with people. I studied with Stella Adler for a while. I studied with Wynne Hanman in New York for a while. I observed Lee Strasberg, and I studied with Uta Hagen for several years. I studied with a lot of people, different people who had a lot of different techniques. And as I studied and as I worked, as I applied this study and these techniques, I devised my own method. So yes, I'm a method actor, not necessarily in the sense that Marlon Brando was a method actor. He had his own method. Or Chris Walken is a method actor. He has his own method. We each of us, as we work, devise a way of working, and we devise a way of communicating with the other actors that we work with, who also have their own individual method.
Mark,
does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mark Metcalf is our very special guest. Frank McKay here with the actor. You probably have seen him in many, many things, but the roles that stand out, Seinfeld and with The Maestro, which was a great role performed wonderfully by Mark and Anita Meyer from Animal House, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer for some younger folks that enjoyed that show, and there are a lot of them. A cult following is a good way to put it. Frank McKay here with Mark Metcalf. Who was it for you as a young man thinking about acting that kind of turned you on to it? I mean, who did you appreciate more than anyone as an actor as you were growing up and seeing films and watching television? Who stood out for you?
Well, as I say, I didn't really start to think of acting as a job until I was in college. And my professors, especially a man named James Coakley, was my sort of mentor. And he introduced me to classical music. He introduced me to the literature of the theater, the layered literature of stories and storytelling. So he was my main inspiration at the beginning. I know your question applies more to what actors was I inspired by. And I have a picture on my wall that somebody gave me, an autographed picture of Paul Scofield, who won an Oscar for A Man for All Seasons.
He was great in that. Wonderful in it.
Yeah, he's great in everything. Wonderful, beautiful stage actor, great Shakespearean actor. And did some films, and I don't know if he ever did any television or not, but he did some film work, and he was always, I loved to watch him work. I loved to watch Alec Guinness work on film, and I had the pleasure of seeing Alec Guinness on stage once in London when I was a young actor, and the plasticity, the fluidity of the characters that he built was fantastic to me, and I wanted to do that. A method that was inspiring to me when I was a young actor in theater was the kabuki, Japanese kabuki theater. I really thought for a long time that I wanted to create a sort of an American kabuki style of acting. Never managed to do it, but because I got distracted by movies and television, which don't allow for that kind of stylization. But so those guys, as far as film and television, there's not anybody. Well, Meryl Streep, of course, who was a friend for a while, is sort of amazing to watch work. And so I really admire her, but not too many others. I can't think. John Cazale, who was died young.
But every movie he was in was just outstanding. He was in five movies, and I think The Conversation is probably the least known, but still a great, you know, four-star movie straight down the line. I mean, John Cazale was wonderful. You had mentioned, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but you had mentioned the Sir Thomas More role for Scofield. I was blown away. And again, I'm not an actor, but as a kid watching that on videotape, I was blown away by everything he did, just watching him and just getting absorbed into it. I really blown away. And every time I saw Scofield in anything, I just loved it. I was glued to the set. But it's interesting that you said Paul Scofield first. And I would, you know, I might have thrown that out there. You know, like if I had to guess some people that you like, for whatever reason, I would think that you would appreciate the work of Paul Scofield. Frank McKay here once again with Mark Metcalf, just a wonderful actor, and just really is just is put together an incredible career, a varied career of so many roles, whether it's episodic television or movies. He's put together a wonderful career, Mark Metcalf. We'll be back after this.
Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 1039 LI News Radio.
And if anyone stepped away, let me remind them that you're listening to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here, our very special guest. You know his work from Seinfeld and Animal House. Mark Metcalf is our very special guest, and thrilled to have him for a couple moments more, or as long as he'll give us. Is there anything that you haven't played? And I hate to ask a trite question like that or whatever, but a role that you haven't played that just either is burning at you and you really want to do it, or is just, is just kind of on your bucket list if you have such a thing.
Well, yeah, almost anything by Shakespeare I would do. I would love to try to do The Tempest, play Prospero in The Tempest. I would like to give Lear a shot. I don't know that I have the stamina and the strength to do Lear. I think I could pull off Prospero. Doing Shakespeare, is you've got to kind of be in the shape of a professional athlete, really, because vocally and physically, it requires that kind of physical conditioning. So I'd like to do any of those. I always wanted to try a production of After the Fall, Arthur Miller's play that's semi-autobiographical about his relationship with Marilyn Monroe and his relationship to Elia Kazan during the McCarthy hearings. It covers that too. So there's those parts. A woman here in where I live is making a movie, a short documentary film about me. She interviewed me for 5 hours, and now we're shooting some video to go with the audio that I recorded with her. But at some point I said, she was asking that question, but as it pertains to movies and television. And I said, half jokingly, but half seriously, I'd like to play one of those guys that has a big gun and just kills a lot of people. And I was trying to figure out where that came from and why that came from. And I realized that the political situation in this country is such now, and it seems to just deteriorate almost daily, that it just makes me angry. And I just, there's a whole long list of people that if somebody made a movie and gave me a gun and said, just go kill some people, that substitution. I would substitute certain faces for people as I, much the way Quentin Tarantino substitutes certain, you know, when he goes about to kill Hitler and Martin Bormann in Inglourious Bastards, he, rewrites history the way we all would have loved to have had it rewritten.
Wow.
And stop that insanity. Yeah. But anyway, so well, does that answer your question?
Yeah, no doubt. And he just did the same thing in his latest, which I loved, by the way, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I thought it was terrific. And I didn't know what he was going to do at the end. But I know some people were like, oh, what are you doing? You know, but you could forgive Quentin Tarantino for anything he does. You mentioned King Lear. Schofield played Peter Brook. His version of King Lear is terrific. It's just
I have not seen it. I've got to find it on paper.
It's great. The business in general. Are you a fan of the business, or do you see it as a necessary part or a necessary evil? Do you like the business of acting and of making films and TV?
I really like the craft of acting. I think of it as a craft. I think of it as a craft more than I think of it as an art. But it verges over into art. I do not like the business side of it because it reduces the craft and reduces the art to something that it's not, or that it's no longer valuable. It kind of reduces it and then blows it away. So I do not like the business, which is why I resigned or quit or retired in 2000, especially the business and the way they practice it in Hollywood, where every day is the best day of everybody's life. And it's a sort of lie for a living in a way. And I didn't. I don't like that. Also, what you're working on in Hollywood, and more so since I quit in 2000, is just not very. The stories you're asked to tell are not very interesting. Now there are some good independent movies that are telling interesting stories about interesting people. To me, interesting. A bunch of guys in tights who can fly and do superhuman things. It is not interesting to me. Buildings blowing up and being destroyed, I don't find that interesting. I don't know. It's just not interesting. I understand that a lot of people seem to like it because it makes a lot of money, but yeah. I don't know that they get a chance to see something else that has human beings talking to each other. And I mean, Chekhov... entire worlds fall apart and destroyed and are begun again without buildings being destroyed and lives being lost in Chekhov. It's just a more nuanced collapse of a civilization and a rebirth. If you're willing to sit still and listen to language and watch people, there's just as much excitement in a Chekhov play as there is in an Avengers movie, I think.
I'm with you 100%. I think we're in the minority, but I go because my sons love they love the superhero movies, and I don't care. I think a lot of them use a lot of imagination. It's, you know, I'm not big on, you know, you mentioned the guys with the big guns. I'm not big on the car movies either, you know, the Fast and the, you know, all the action stuff. That's just not me. But again, it, you know, it makes money and they're going to keep making them while they make money, as we both know. Mark Metcalf is our very special guest, just a wonderful actor, and I'm just absolutely thrilled to have him. And again, I keep mentioning the couple of roles, but there's so much more than that. I keep mentioning Seinfeld and the Maestro and Anita Meyer and Animal House and Buffy and the Vampire Slayer. But there's so much more. Take a look at his IMDb. It's a mile long. Frank McKay here with Mark Metcalf. When you look back at all of the different roles that you've done, was there anything that you were either offered or up for that you couldn't take because you were doing something else? And you look back, and I'm not saying it haunts you, but you know, you kind of look back and say, maybe I should have taken that. Is there one role that stands out?
No, I think I probably have a very selective memory and I forget those disappointments. I live in denial about them. I'm sure that there were. I mean, I know that there were, I just don't know what they were. I mean, because I've worked fairly regularly and usually chosen to do the stage over film, and stage doesn't let you out too often to do a film and then come back. But I'm sure there were. I just don't remember what they might have been.
Or on the other hand, is there anything that you did that you were absolutely convinced would be, you know, a smash? Or I don't know if you think like that, but this show that I'm doing is going to be a big hit, and it just didn't go for some reason or another. And even when you look back, say, I don't understand why this didn't go. Is there something that you look at in your resume, in your career, that you were really convinced that it would do well and just didn't?
Everything that I do thinking, and this is film, television, and theater, I do it thinking that it's going to change someone's mind so much that they will remember it always and be thrilled by the memory. So I think everything I do is going to be a huge hit, and I'm always surprised when it isn't. Now, that's a little disingenuous because there have been some movies that I've made where they were just paying me money, or I just wanted to go to that location and spend some time there that I knew weren't going to be lightning in a bottle, that were just, you know, that were schlock. And so, yeah, I've done some schlock, willingly done schlock for the money and for the wardrobe. But most of the time, everything I do, I think, is going to be earth-shattering. That's just the way my ego is. But so I live in constant disappointment because it's not all. But it may be for one. I mean, I can't remember how many plays I did for First Stage Children's Theater. I did a beautiful production of The Giver, the Lois Lowry book. I did a production of A Christmas Story, the one with the kid who gets a BB, wants a BB gun for Christmas. Yeah. You'll Put Your Eye Out. I did a production of The True Confessions of Charlotte Doyle, which is based on a book. I did a really brilliant, beautiful production of a play called A Midnight Cry that I can't remember the fellow's name who wrote it. He's an actor at American Players Theater. James DeVita wrote it about the Underground Railroad and African American woman who ran away and got on the Underground Railroad from Missouri and made her way to Milwaukee. And each of those productions, the ones that I mentioned, and Holes too, based on the book, they were very, they got inside kids' heads.
Yeah.
And they changed their thinking and they opened their minds up. Their minds are already open, but they changed the way they're thinking. So each one of those, even though more people watch one episode of a television series called Hotel that I did years ago than saw all the performances of A Midnight Cry, the one about the Underground Railroad. But I wager that A Midnight Cry affected in a positive way more people than that one episode of Hotel that I did affected people in terms of just affecting their way they think about the world.
Actor Mark Metcalf is the voice that you're hearing, and we got a couple moments left with him, and it's just wonderful to have him here. And you know his work from Animal House and Seinfeld, and the list it goes on and on, Buffy and the Vampire Slayer, and so many other things. Frank McKay here with Mark. Mark, let me ask you this, and I keep going back to this early part of your career. Or asking you to remember the early part of your career. Do you remember the first actor that, or somebody in the field that was making a living at doing what you wanted to do? And is it somebody who stands out to you, whoever he or she was? And if so, I mean, was it inspiring that, hey, this person is flesh and blood, and if they can do it, that means, you know, I can do this as well. Obviously, it's a very difficult thing to undertake. And do you remember the first person?
Well, like I said, Jim Coakley in college. But
he was teaching.
An actor. Yeah, professor, yeah. I know what you mean. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I guess the answer you're looking for, and the answer, it's a relatively honest answer, too. I did a play early on in my career called Tooth of Crime, a Sam Shepard play. And the first paying job I had was at the Milwaukee Rep doing a season there. And there was a guy named Bill McCarrigan there who was a seasoned actor. And, oh boy, what's her name? Penny, a wonderful, beautiful actress named Penny something, who had been residents at the Milwaukee Repertory Theater for a long time. And they were great actors. But Frank Langella played opposite me in Tooth of Crime, a Sam Shepard play. We were doing the American premiere of it in Princeton at MacArthur Theater. They talked about taking it into New York. It got reviewed very well in Time magazine because it was a world premiere of a Sam Shepard play. Sam came and worked with us for about 5 days during rehearsal. And Frank Langella was one of those people who had already had a career. He was established. And that was kind of the part he played. The play is about two rock and roll singers, musicians, one a seasoned one who has made it to the top and one who is sort of trying to make his way up. And it's a very aggressive relationship that they have with each other where they actually try to they sing at each other the way Eskimos do sing-offs when they have an argument. They will do a sing-off, and Shepard kind of took that little bit of archaeology and turned it into a play where these two rock and roll singers basically sort of sing at each other with different styles. And eventually the Langella character, Haas is his name, ends up dying, killing himself. So watching Frank work and working with him and a director named Lewis Criss, who directed it, and Nick, a bunch of good actors played the other characters around that. They were all good. I mean, I say Langella because you want to know a name that's famous that may have inspired me. So it was fun to work with him because he's a good actor. And he had already was established. So I learned some positive things. I also learned that when you're established and you think of yourself as established and think of yourself as a star, you can be a bit of a, and I know we're not supposed to curse, so I won't, but you can be a bit of an a-hole,
right,
if that's permissible, about it. And so I learned to try to avoid that. Because not that I want everybody to like me, but the work is what's important, and not what's on the craft service table or what's in my dressing room or all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, you mentioned Penny, and it was bothering me, a stage actress. Not Penny Fuller, right? Penelope Ann Fuller? That's not the stage.
No, not Penny Fuller. No, yeah. No, I know. I knew her too, but no, this is Penny. What Penny? I can't remember her last name. Yeah.
Well, that was she's thinking.
Primarily a regional theater actor.
Oh, I got
there's
you.
There's a ton of just a huge number of incredibly skillful, talented, really great actors working in regional theater across the country. It's one of my best favorite places to work. You're not as worried about real estate and about paying the rent as you are in New York. So you don't have to compromise to make money. You can do more experimental, more edgy stuff, and you get to work with these wonderful actors who are making a living and making a life acting in Louisville or in Milwaukee or in Ashland, Oregon, or in St. Louis at the Loretto Hilton, and all kinds of places all across the country where I love working with actors who get up in the morning and go do their job. They're craftsmen and they do their job. I mean, we're referred to as journeyman actors. We're not particularly interested. The fact that I did Animal House and Seinfeld and Buffy the Vampire Slayer puts me into a place where you want to do a radio show with me. But I'm telling you, that some of the actors that are sitting down there in Louisville right now preparing to do, Indianapolis, let's say that, they're preparing to open 12 Angry Men, a great, great play, made into, yes, a very good movie, but still a phenomenal play for, I think, 8 or 9 men, 12 men, I guess, 12 Angry Men,
yeah.
those guys are equally as interesting as I am to interview. Yeah. I suggest you interview them.
Well, yeah, listen, I interview so many people that when I submit them, people are like, who's this guy? But it's just fascinating. I've been fascinating, quite frankly, by people who've made a living grinding it out, you know, as an actor, as an actress. It's one thing to be Tom Cruise and you got that first big hit out of the way early and then you just kind of cruise through. And again, not to disparage Tom Cruise, in any way, but, you just kind of go through your career and with roller skates, just picking this one or that role and making sure you do this. It's interesting. But, somebody that had to grind out a career to me is just fascinating. And it's whether it's in sports or whether it's in, acting or singing, but somebody who's made a living by not having that one that one role that just stands out. So we do a lot of that. And again, Mark Metcalf is our very special guest, and I'm thrilled to have him. We're just about done with Mark, unfortunately. I'd love to get him back for a part two. A Mad Men is something else. I don't know. You did a Mad Men. You were the mayor, right, in Mad Men? Do I have this
right? Say that again.
You were in Mad Men.
I did an episode of Mad Men. Yes, I did.
Which was a great series. Oh, my gosh. The acting in that and that's right. I saw you in a Mad Men.
Really good writing, really carefully produced. That guy, Matt Weiner, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Weiner. Weiner.
Really carefully, with great detail and great passion and love, produced it. I mean, the every frame in that movie was a beautiful picture to look at. And the detail in the props was great. And the writing was good. The story was good. It was, yeah, it was fun to do.
Listen, I was thrilled to have this time with you, and just congratulations on a great career, and thank you very much for being here. Do you have a social media site or a website that you want to point people to?
No, I don't do any of that. I mean, I'm on Facebook, and there's a lot of people who I don't know who I've befriended because I didn't want to hurt their feelings. So there is a page out there. There's a film, actually, that I made 3 years ago with a wonderful director in Wisconsin, director named Tate Bunker. The film is called The Field, that is out on video on demand. I think you can pre-order it right now. It comes out on video on demand on the 24th of September, and it opens, I'm going to New York on the 28th of September for the premiere of it at the Anthology Film Archive.
It's not The Field. Right? Is that what you're saying? It is The Field?
It's called The Field. Yeah. It's not the Irish movie with Richard Harris. It's a different. It's called The Field, the film.
Yeah.
I think is what they. We made it under a different name, Depth of Field, and I don't know why they changed the name, but they did.
Well, listen, congratulations on everything. Like I said, and thank you very much for being here. Mark Metcalf has been our very special guest. Everyone, again, knows him from, the big high-profile roles, but he's great in everything he does. Wonderful, even if he's doing it for wardrobe or for a check. he's great any way you slice it. And Niedermeyer is a role he'll never escape. And why would he want to? He played it so well in Animal House. And the maestro in Seinfeld and Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Mad Men. He played the mayor in one episode of Mad Men. He was terrific in that and everything he does. Mark Metcalf, everyone, has been our very special guest. We'll see you all next time on Breaking It Down.